VoiceOfAmerica.com.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Barnelstone. We're so happy you've joined us this weekend. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Barnelstone.
Good afternoon. And welcome to Crime Prevention 101. And I like to say this is the personal safety radio show with the optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And I hope that you've all had a wonderful and safe week since we last got together. Now, you know, it's January, and January is a very busy month crime prevention-wise. First of all, it's Self-Defense Awareness Month. And I've got a great self-defense show coming up for you today. I've got tips and resources and everything. But it's also Stalking Awareness Month. And next week, I'm going to be talking about stalking and what options you might have in that situation. So please mark your calendars. If you or someone you know is in this kind of situation, you are going to want to hear this show. And I'm going to jump right in here now. I got a question for you. What would you do if you were standing face-to-face with an attacker who was threatening your children and their safety completely depended on you? Well, my guest today, Irene van der Zand, was in that very situation 20 years ago, and it left her with the determination to do something that would make a difference, helping people everywhere and helping especially children and youth know how to use their own power to become safer and more confident. And now, today, she's the executive director and co-founder of Kid Power, Teen Power, Full Power International, which we shorten Kid Power. And I'm going to let her tell you exactly how she stopped that attack and exactly what she does to help people everywhere face this and other personal safety situations. So welcome, Irene, to Crime Prevention 101.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
And how you doing? That's how
I'm
you say
doing
me.
Great. I was saying I'm in California and the weather's lovely.
And the weather is frigid here.
Yes.
Totally cold. Now, Irene and I have known each other via telephone. We've never met, but we've known each other via telephone for at least 10 years. And let me just tell you a little bit about this amazing woman. So, as I said, she's the executive director and co-founder of Kid Power International. And Kid Power teaches what they call people safety skills, which is personal safety, self-protection, confidence, and advocacy skills. And they teach amazing stuff to amazing groups of people. They have 11 centers in the United States, 2 in Canada, 10 international centers, including New Zealand, Pakistan, and India. And rumor has it one is even starting in Lebanon.
That's right. And
amazing.
Brazil and Mexico.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. All right. Now, before we get started, I found an article that I just have to share with you, Irene, and then we're gonna go back and you're going to tell us what happened all those years ago. I found actually 2 articles, which I think you're going to get a kick out of. The title of it was Evaluation Outcomes of Self-Defense Training for Women. And it was a review in the Journal of Aggression and Violent Behavior. And they actually did a study on self-defense, and the research showed that women with training may engage in fewer avoidance behaviors and more participatory behaviors, behaviors demonstrating freedom of action, thus restricting their freedom of movement less than women without training, right?
Mm-hmm.
We knew that. Also, women who took self-defense were more confident of their ability to respond to assault, and that may increase the chances that they will successfully defend themselves against an attack. Oh, wow. We finally got some scientific proof, right?
That's wonderful.
What we knew all these years. And I have one more story for you. This was a newspaper clipping. Irene, this was in one of my New York papers. And it was about an 86-year-old woman who was attacked in her sleep by a home invader. And this guy broke in to the into her home. He smothered her with a pillow, and then he started stabbing her. And she needed something like 30 stitches in her face and back and neck. And the gist of it, though, is that she said, I had a choice. You know, I could either lay there and die, or I could fight back. I decided to fight. I got too much to do.
Good for her.
Absolutely. And she, you know what? She fought him off.
Hmm.
And she knew no self-defense at all.
Mm-hmm.
He took her cash and jewelry. He's still uncaught. But that's what we call that warrior attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So now let me take you back 20 years. There you were. Tell us what happened in that incident when that guy was threatening your kids.
Well, I had a field trip. My daughter was 7, my son was 4, and I had also 6 of my daughter's 7-year-old girlfriends. And this man saw a mom with 8 little kids, and he got triggered by us. And first he just started saying things like, I had all the cute little girls, and he didn't have anybody. And I'm used to unusual people. I live in Santa Cruz, California. So,
okay.
You know, we live up to our reputation. And so I, as being a somewhat alternative place, so it didn't, I mean, I didn't like it, but I wasn't scared at first. And I just told the kids, if you're scared, hang on to me. He's got problems. And we walked down the mall of Santa Cruz, the main street, with 8 little hands clutching to my body.
Mm.
And until the kids got calmed down and he had disappeared. But then when we got into the lobby of the bus station, we were at the information counter and the lobby was full of people. And one of the girls said, here he comes again.
Mm.
And this time this man came charging through the automatic opening doors with his arms stretched out, shouting, I'm going to take one of these girls to be my bride.
My God.
And what was scary was that, of course, the whole thing, that his face was in my face, and to this day, even though my children are grown and out on their own in the world, I have a vivid image of my little 4-year-old being so terrified he was trying to squeeze his body behind his big sister.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the lobby froze, except for me. And that's because of the bystander effect. It's not because they were bad people, but because in emergencies, people often do freeze because they don't know what to do, or they go in denial, or they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what you'd do, and what I bet most of your listeners would do. And I got in between the man and the kids. I got in his face, and I started shouting. I shouted, you're not allowed to scare children, which I later realized was not the most intelligent thing I had ever said. But it was all I could think of, and he shouted back, I can do what I want, I can say what I want, and finally I yelled at a man that was just standing there watching us with his mouth dropped open. I yelled, get over here and help us. Can't you see these kids are scared?
Good for you. And you know what? That breaks through that bystander.
That is. It's giving an order.
Absolutely.
And when the guy came to stand next to us, then the man attacking us ran away.
Excellent.
That's what happened. And the kids
all
were
right.
Fine. But I wasn't fine, and that's why I took my first self-defense class.
I was just going to say, now after that, you knew that that was not going to happen to you again. You next time, if it ever did, you were going to know what to do, and you began to take self-defense, right?
That's right.
Now tell me how Kid Power came
well,
about.
Well, as I was getting involved, and I got very involved in the full force work with a head-to-toe patterned instructor, and I really believe in that work as one way to do self-defense. It's part of what we do. I realized that I could not be with my children all the time, and I was learning to answer that question, what if he tried to knock me down?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew now that I had the skills to stop him and protect the children. I mean, I kept thinking, what if he'd even touched one of those children?
Mm-hmm.
And so first it became I took self-defense in order to answer that question, what if he tried to knock me down? But when I took self-defense, I found that even though I was pretty assertive in most parts of my life, I became even more assertive and much more confident. And I realized that I could not be with my children all the time. I had a Girl Scout troop of 15 girls, And I think about that Rape Crisis Center statistic of about 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 4 to 7 boys being sexually assaulted before they're 18.
Yep, horrible, horrible.
And I think about that meant 5 of those little girls. And I thought, well, which 5 is it okay with me that this happens to? And, of course, the answer was none of them, right? So I gathered with martial artists and educators and law enforcement experts and mental health experts and parents, and we incorporated the incident actually happened in 1985. But we incorporated in 1989 as a nonprofit and started the field test programs. We wanted our programs to be upbeat and effective and empowering. We didn't want to put fear into children.
That is critically important, right?
Yes, we wanted to teach them, and we wanted them to feel successful each step of the way. So that's where we started, and we're celebrating our 20-year anniversary as an organization.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We've served over 1.2 million children, teens, and adults, including lots of people with disabilities.
And we're going to talk about that, yes.
Yeah, both around, close to home and around the world, we say.
What was that figure again? How many? 1 million?
1.2. No, not 20 million. We've served many, many more than just our direct services. Our direct services means things like workshops and where we teach teachers how to teach and directly serving. But we also have served many, many, many more through what we call the ripple effect of people, people looking at our website and getting ideas, people learning from other people about what we teach.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that website too. Now, the reason that you call it Kid Power, Teen Power, Full Power is because you not only teach kids and teens, but you teach adults, teach seniors.
Right. Well, what happened was we started with kids and their adults. Parents, all the people around them, teachers, and then people said, what about teens? And then people said, what about us? So it was a evolutionary a name. So it was Kid Power, then Teen Power, then I thought, oh dear, we're going to have adult power, work power, senior power, college power. This name's going to get really long. And so we stopped it at Full Power and then added International. So we said,
I always call it Kid Power. So
that's right. It's kids. Okay. We say it's for people who are kids and people who used to be kids.
Hey, that works.
Yeah, it does work.
Yes, that absolutely does work. And you also teach special needs populations. We're going to go on. Just give me a little bit of an idea. We're going to do a little more in depth on this after our break. But some of the special needs populations that you also train.
We work with people who are in wheelchairs. Who use wheelchairs, people who are visually impaired or profoundly blind, people who have hearing difficulties or are profoundly deaf, people who have mental health challenges, people who are survivors, people with developmental disabilities or developmental delays like Down syndrome or autism or Asperger's, people who... who are in impoverished neighborhoods and lack confidence. We work with all ages, all abilities, all walks of life.
All right. That's fabulous. All right. Hold that thought, Irene. Let's take a break. You're going to want to hear more about this, so stay tuned.
News, opinion, passion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
There's a purpose revolution sweeping the world. Now more than ever before, in the midst of so many things they could do, people are asking what they should do. Since 1991, John Stanko has been helping people all over the world answer these questions. Now John is bringing his purpose message and philosophy to Voice America, where you will hear from people of purpose like John, who have found what they were created to do. Join John and his guests from around the world every week on his show, Your Purpose Quest, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. I've been talking with Irene Van de Zander of Kid Power International. And I just want to remind you all, don't forget to check my DearSafetySolutions.com website. I'm going to have a lot of information on self-defense there in the safety tips section. Some of the tips that we're going to talk about today is there. And I also want to say, as I say every show, message out to survivors that may be listening. To those of you who are already a survivor of the kind of crime that we're talking about today on the show or any other kind of crime or violence, please, please, please understand and remember that nothing that happened to you was your fault. Even if you think that you used bad judgment in a situation and that left yourself vulnerable, that is never an excuse for a crime or for violence. And I just implore you, call yourself a survivor and not a victim. And understand that with the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. And now, welcome back, Irene. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the special classes that you teach. You had sent me an email about Captain Kid Power. Tell me about that.
Yes, how Captain Kid Power helped Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Right, and that's targeted especially towards what population?
That was actually written by a special education teacher who was working with children who were moderately to severely disabled with a developmental disability. And she had them perform this for their school play. But it was a wonderful adaptation, and we're going to have it. We have the pictures up on our website, but we're going to have the play there too, so other teachers might do it. And she took the Kid Power skills and applied it to the Rudolph story because Rudolph was different, right? And the other reindeer laughed and called him names. Now, in our story, Rudolph is a girl in her play, and then Captain Kid Power would jump on the stage and say, "Kid Power to the rescue," and teach if somebody called you names, you could throw hurting words in the trash can. if somebody tried to push you, you could say stop and then go to the grown-up in charge for help. In this case, the grown-up in charge was Santa. It was very charming play. But she took the skills that we had taught. We have cartoon books and we have other materials. We do training with teachers about how to adapt our skills into their classrooms or programs that serve people with special needs, including adults, how to take what we're teaching and adapt it for the people they serve. And this was the Rudolph was just a wonderful adaptation.
This is so important. Let's go back a little bit to these people skills. I named four people skills when I introduced you to begin with, and we talked about advocacy and so forth. Let's just go through some of that.
Right. We call it people safety, and it's just like, fire safety is a lot more than just burning prevention.
Yes.
Fire safety means being able to enjoy fire safely. It is about burning prevention, but it's also about cooking safely and heating and enjoyment. And we feel that people safety is a nice term for enjoying people safely and being safe with people, including yourself, including others. And so we have a number of skills that fall within people safety. That includes being aware, calm, and confident, knowing how to speak up for yourself and others, knowing how to walk away from trouble, knowing how to keep your feelings safe, knowing how to be very persistent in getting help if you need it, and knowing how to set boundaries so that you can have safe and strong relationships.
Absolutely.
And, of course, these same skills also prevent most bullying, molestation, abduction, and abuse.
Absolutely. So that falls under advocacy.
Yes.
And advocacy means, you teach them how to be an advocate for themselves.
Yes, and for others. So that in a bullying situation, for example, that if somebody's trying to bully you, you know how to protect your feelings by throwing away hurting words. We teach a trash can technique to throw away the hurting words, knowing how to say, stop, I don't like that, without attacking the other person, but just setting a boundary.
And verbal skills are so important.
Right, right. And then knowing how to disengage, how to walk away from a problem instead of feeling stuck there. And then knowing how to get the attention, if you're a child, of a busy adult, because adults are often busy, and making it clear that you need help and what you did to take care of yourself and then how you need help from them.
And this is especially important with children with different ability levels because, especially developmental delays, those are, they really need that kind of help. I mean, I think all kids do, but
we all do.
You're right.
But the
they get picked on. They're the Rudolph with the red nose.
There they are, like Rudolph with
right.
the red nose. That's it exactly.
Right.
But the reality is we say that people's safety skills are the same from the time you're born till the time you die, and that what changes are some of your abilities and some of the problems you might face. But if you are different in some way, which could be for many different reasons,
mm-hmm.
Then you are more likely to have people safety problems and more likely to need the people safety tools. But we work a tremendous amount both with people with special needs and with the general public.
Mm-hmm. So you got the awareness skills, you've got the verbal advocacy skills. Now you also do the physical self-defense.
We do. We call it the emergency only skills. Because they're for physical resistance or physical self-defense, it's an important part of the other skills are everyday safety skills. You need them all the time in normal sibling interactions or interactions within the normal school day. You need to know how to speak up for yourself. You need to know what your boundaries are. You need to know how to be in charge of your body so you don't cross the boundaries of others or in charge of your words.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how to manage your emotional triggers. There's lots of things you need to know how to do all the time. And then you also need, if you're in a situation where all those skills don't work and you're about to be hurt, you know how, need to know how to physically defend yourself so that you can get away and get to safety.
I love the concept, though, of saying this is for emergencies only, because you don't want to train little bullies.
Right.
You know, you don't want to train kids self-defense skills that are for emergency only without having them understand the distinction and how to use it properly. Because, you know, like I said, you don't want to have trained little bullies on how to hurt people.
Right. And we've had not one report of a child misusing our skills.
Right. Let's explain that they do this full contact on a padded attack of the kids as well as the teens and the adults, right?
He's six and older. Not little kids, but kids, well, six is pretty little, but six and older,
yeah.
we teach them physical self-defense. Younger than that, they have a harder time between the, you know, what's real and what's not real.
And what are some of the scenarios? And though this kind of training is very scary, but it's the most realistic way to train, because you've actually got the ability to use the techniques that you're learning full force against a protected, padded attacker, so you get to know exactly what it feels like, exactly how hard you can go, and how hard you need to go. How do the kids take and do with that, and how do they take to that?
Well, children are very different than adults. For adults, it's very scary because we think about all the reasons why we need to do it. For children, the way we present it in Kid Power, most children are not scared. They're excited because they understand that it's pretend and that they're getting to do something they normally don't get to do. And I mean, I wish I could bottle the energy and give it to our teen and especially our adult students, because a child will see you do two eye strikes, two heel palms to the face, knee to the groin, kick to the groin, run to safety yelling, "I need help." And then you turn to the group of children who are wide-eyed and you say, "Do you want to learn how to do that?" And they all yell, "Yes."
Sure, but now it looks like a great fun game.
Right, but they have already practiced leaving, running, yelling, setting boundaries, being aware, checking first. Checking and thinking first is a critical part of what we teach. That if you're not sure something's safe or if you don't know, you move away and you check with your adult. If you don't have an adult to check with because you're a little older or for whatever reason, then you think first and you follow a safety plan. And that prevents most problems. But we have had some dramatic success stories because of the full force work. And we also do kick pad work too.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a couple of the success stories?
Sure. We had a little girl who was at the zoo with her mom, and her mom was with the next animal, I think with other siblings, I'm not 100% sure. And a man came behind her and was as if he was going to lift her up, which he had not wanted. But she thought he was with a couple of boys. She thought he was with a dad. He was a dad just watching the animals, too. But suddenly he came behind her as if he was lifting her up to see the animals. But he was actually trying to touch her inappropriately. And she did a low elbow into his midsection, and he took off.
Yay.
And she
love
was,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, of course, kids who, one little girl who had been bullied for months. The kids were grabbing her red hair. She had curly red hair. And she warned them to stop, told them to stop. And then they grabbed her hair again. And it hurt, you know, and it wasn't safe. And she did a heel palm into somebody's solar plexus, another kid's solar plexus, and then ran and told the teacher. And that ended months of harassment.
And what's really important about that is when you go into the solar plexus, it's like a warning shot. It hurts, but it's not going to do horrible damage to the person.
Right.
So it's applying a great deal of restraint and yet showing a lot of force and determination. And that's the stopper. That's what stops it.
Right. We had a boy who had been bullied and beaten up about 17 times. And then he came into Kid Power training. And he was able to stop repeated incidents without violence because he was so much more confident. And so it. Just by being able to say no and sound and look like he meant it and being able to go away and not get hooked into an argument, he was able to keep himself safe.
Yeah, this is extremely important. And well, you mothers out there, if your kids are in a bullying situation, and this is one of the best resources you can have to help them stop and get out of the situation themselves. And that's kind of what you really want. You want them to have the self-confidence and the power to do it for themselves rather than you having to go to the teacher, which you may have to do anyway, or go to the principal. But the best way to repair the damage of that bullying is to give that person back their self-confidence. So I think that's fantastic. You've got a lot of incidents like this on your website, right?
Yes, we do. The kidpower.org website has success stories. It has a lot of free articles as well as some publications for sale. People use our cartoon illustrated publications to help them teach the kids in their life all the time. We've got a free e-newsletter with articles. Things keep coming up, stories that, you know, and situations, and so we share them with our readers, and of course we have classes too.
And I get that e-zine, and that e-zine is wonderful. It's kidpower.org. You really got to go check out that website. We're coming up on our break. Irene, let's hold on here. We're going to come back. We're going to do some tips. We've got a little more questions that I got to ask you. So everybody, you stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT-1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT-1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
And welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. I'm talking with Irene Van de Zand from Kid Power, the People Safety Skills Program, which I love that. And we were talking about some of the success stories that some of the kids that they train specifically have had, and they are on her website, kidpower.org. Let's talk a little bit. I know you do senior programs. I want to talk about that, and I want to try and mention the program you're doing in India. So, because we opened up the show with this article about this 86-year-old woman, and she fought back sheer guts and determination. But you do senior classes, and they are a terrible target.
Yes.
You know, again, the weaker the kids and the elderly and women who are perceived as weaker. What do you do for the senior programs that you do?
Well, we teach the same kinds of skills, but we adapt it for, it depends. I mean, you know, there's so many different, by seniors, it could be active seniors, people who are disabled or, and so we tailor what we do for the needs of the senior group. But the senior power means that people are getting a chance. Often seniors have a harder time with setting boundaries because they didn't get an opportunity to learn that when they were younger. Mm-hmm. I have a dramatic success story of a woman who we had taught for 10 minutes. I had had people practice yelling for help, and because making a scene can also be an issue for lots of people, but especially for many seniors. And so this woman was just a week after the practice that we'd done, she was driving her car and it broke down in a really bad neighborhood. And this is in the days before cell phones. So she went to the all-night gas station, and the woman inside of her bulletproof cubicle said, "I'm sorry, you'll have to use the phone across the parking lot." Two carloads of men who were drunk or high started screeching around this elderly woman, and they started to stop their car and get out. She says that she's sure that if she had not practiced what to do, she would have collapsed and cried. But instead, she got into ready position. She yelled, "Stop right there," and they were so astounded they stopped. And then she yelled, "Get back in your car," and she was so determined they started to back up into their car. And then she yelled at the woman inside of the bulletproof cubicle, "Call 911." And when the lady picked up the phone to call 911, these guys took off.
That's wonderful. Now, how old was she again?
She was in her 80s. But I have not somebody trained by our program, but I keep on the wall a story of a woman who was over 100. It was in the Seattle Times, and how a man had broken into her apartment and she grabbed and squeezed his testicles, and he started begging her to let him go, but she was so adrenalized she couldn't let him go, and the neighbors came and rescued both of them. Of course, he got arrested. Isn't that a great story? So I say you're never too old to learn how to protect yourself.
That's right. And that's one of the principles about self-defense that people don't always understand. You're taught to hit the targets on the body that are vulnerable. I don't care. She could have been 100 and whatever, and he could have been, you know, 25, 200 pounds, muscle-bound, but the testicles have no muscle. And if you get your hands on them, you will hurt that person, right? So do the eyes, the ears, and the nose, you know, the neck, the throat, right? The groin, kneecap, shin, and instep.
Yeah.
Those are the basic targets, and that I'm sure is what you teach in your programs. You teach strikes and ways to get at those basic targets. And that's why at she needed really, she got the right target. She just needed the determination. And she obviously had that. I love it. I love those stories.
Yes, me too.
Now, let's just go quickly. You have a center in India. Talk to me about that, because I think that's especially important, what you're doing over there.
Well, they work with, it's in conjunction with a wonderful organization called ARDAR, which is in rural areas of India. And they have girls who were living and working on the streets. They were supporting themselves on the streets. And now they are in residential centers, and they're teaching these girls to, along with, teaching them how to earn a living and giving them a safe place and giving them therapy, they're also teaching kid power skills to them.
That's fantastic.
And they're planning. They're expanding it into schools. And they did some things with boundary setting where they taught the girls from in their orphanages to go into the schools and do plays based on boundary setting skills, so that they would teach the people in the community how to keep themselves safe as well.
And sexual harassment happens to be a particularly bad problem over in India. I don't know, probably elsewhere too, but I have a few friends who live in India and who travel there, and it is amazingly difficult if you are a woman out by yourself, getting on public transportation or whatever. You're going to get groped, or worse, or taunted, and mostly people don't do anything about it. So it's extremely important to teach, especially these young girls, how to set those boundaries and maybe have some other choices for themselves.
Right, if they need it, or how to make a scene, or because a lot of times what happens is you get groped, and we teach people, if you're dealing in a crowded bus and somebody touches you where you shouldn't, you grab their hand, hold it high, and yell, "Whose hand is this?"
I like that one.
Yeah, make
New York City subways. New York City subways.
Yep. And instead of just being quiet is a big part of how you get sexual harassment to stop.
All right. Now, how can people become affiliated or become a trainer with Kid Power?
We teach professionals how to use our skills in their work all the time in different ways. People can buy our training manual from our website. They can come to a training of professionals. They can use the teaching kit. The cartoon illustrated teaching kits are a great tool. If people want to become part of our organization, then we have a fairly extensive application process. And if they want to work inside the auspices of our organization, it's spelled out pretty well on our website. But they go through. We offer international training once a year for teaching children and their adults, and once a year a different training for teaching teens and adults, including people with special needs. And so people come to the training and they work under our supervision in their communities until they're ready to teach on their own. We hope that your listeners, if there's anybody out there who might be in a position to support Kid Power financially, it would be huge for us. I was thinking, if everybody just gave what they could, even if it was $5, every dollar people give will help a child or someone in need to be safe.
The Obama syndrome or whatever.
$2,
and it added up to millions. So
right.
And they can go to your website, kidpower.org, and
just click on the Donate Now button, and we appreciate nothing, and we are really scrupulous in how we spend the money. One of the things we want to do is to get skills for showing on our website how to teach people with different abilities, different skills, because a lot of times people believe that you cannot teach somebody with a disability. And so we want to show, and not just say it, but also show it and make that available. And of course, we provide scholarships in our classes and are working on a wealth of new materials as well.
All right, so we got 11 centers in the U.S. so far. I want to see 22 by this time next year. That's our goal. All right, Irene, let's give some tips. Got some tips about kid safety for parents or for kids if any kids are listening.
So we have a number of tips for parents on our website, but I also want to just give you a few right now. First of all, parents, listen to your children. Be a safe person to come to. That means if you are tempted to lecture or get upset, remember that children are much more likely to talk to people, to adults who are calm. And kids, your parents want to know, most of the time, parents or other caring adults in your life do want to know what's happening to you, even if they seem really busy. So please be really persistent and don't give up until you get the help you need if you have a safety problem. You want to make a safety plan for everywhere a child goes, and actually everywhere you go, about how to get help if you should have a safety problem. And you can make a list of the places that you go, a list of the kinds of problems that you might encounter, and a list of the ways that you might get help.
Excellent points.
You want to check first if you have an adult to check with, and think first. But you want to check first, and you teach kids to check before you change your plan about where you're going, who you're with, or what you're doing. The checking first rule is a huge, huge benefit in teaching stranger safety. We don't teach stranger danger. It's not empowering for kids to believe that the world's full of dangerous people called strangers. But we can teach children that they need to check before they change their plan. And whether, if for young children, whether it's an insect that they've never touched before, they see something that looks hot, or an animal or a person. And as they get more experience, they still want to check before they change their plan.
And let me inject one note in here about that stranger danger, because
yes,
we know, you and I know, that kids are much more subject to danger from people that they know.
Right.
People in the family, relatives, friends of the family, their neighbors, you know, the guy that delivers stuff. Much more in danger from the people that they know than from strangers. And that's why that concept isn't such a good one. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do some more tips. So you all, just stay tuned.
All right.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy five-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Divorce, child custody, support, and visitation, division of property, attorneys, court. Just the thought of divorce is stressful enough. Never mind the combative, destructive, and expensive process. Is there a better way? Yes, divorce mediation. On Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, host Philip Mulford, one of the country's top divorce mediators, will discuss this incredibly successful alternative. Formerly a practicing attorney, Philip will explore the myths and facts about a process that has kept his clients out of court and saved them thousands of dollars. If you aren't familiar with divorce mediation, or your lawyer has told you it's not appropriate for your case, this show is for you. After listening to Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, you'll tell anyone considering a divorce, go to mediation first. Divorce Mediation, changing the culture of divorce.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Yeah, welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. I'm talking with Irene Van de Zand from KidPower.org. And before we went to break, we were talking about the concept of stranger danger. And Irene had another point to make about this. So go ahead, Irene. Tell us what...
First of all, as Susan said, most of the people who bother you are not strangers, but people you know. But we teach stranger safety instead of stranger danger because it's disempowering for children to believe that the world is full of dangerous people who they don't know called strangers. The reality is that all of us are strangers to most other people. And we teach children that most people are good. That means most strangers are good. And you don't need to worry. You just have safety rules that you follow. And if you follow your safety rules, most of the time you can be safe.
And the other thing that especially for young children, it takes very little for a young child not to consider you a stranger.
Right.
If you talk to your next door neighbor for 3 or 4 times, all of a sudden that person's not a stranger, when in actuality that person is a stranger. It's good that you, I love that you don't want to scare children to death, and you don't want to make them frightened, neurotic grown-ups when they hit grown-up.
Right, we don't want them to be frightened or neurotic at any age, and certainly,
right.
And we just don't want them to be anxious. It doesn't make them safer to make them anxious. And the checking first rule means if before they change their plan, they stand up, they move away, they go to their grown-up, the grown-up in charge, and they check. And that will prevent a host of problems. We had some other skills. You asked for safety tips about moving out of reach if somebody might be a problem to you. Another one is to be and act aware, calm, and confident, because being assertive rather than aggressive or passive keeps you safe most of the time. We want children to be able to set respectful and powerful boundaries with people they know. We want adults to be able to do that, too. And knowing how to speak up, again, for what you do and don't want. Knowing how to negotiate boundaries when you're in a daily-type living situation. And knowing how to respect the boundaries of others. If you're scared, you want to yell and run to safety. And finally, of course, if you are in danger and you cannot just leave and get help, then you want to have physical self-defense skills to be able to protect yourself.
Back up, absolutely. Let's talk about the yelling a bit, because that's one of my pet peeves, and it's kind of a hot button in our field.
Mm-hmm.
What do you teach? You teach the children I know don't hesitate to draw attention to themselves,
right,
or to make a scene. And attackers are often scared away by noise. We know that. And The other thing, yelling also is going to initiate breathing. It's going to keep you breathing. That's going to circulate oxygen into your blood. That's going to fuel your muscles. It's going to keep your mind going. It's going to keep you from shutting down. What do you like to teach the kids to yell?
We teach them to yell, no, stop, or I need help. And we have them practice that. We teach them to yell from their belly, not from their throat. We have them practice yelling and running out loud and running to an adult who is their safe person who then says, I will help you.
He's not my father, he's not my mother.
He's not my father, he's not my mother.
Someone's trying to
Help. Someone's trying to take me away. But simple, I need help. Is no and stop, because you don't want to give kids too many different things to yell, because they think about the words, and the main thing is to make a very clear, focused intent that this is not okay with me.
And the other good thing about I need help, as opposed to help, help, help.
Yes.
As soon as you hear help, 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 there's the bystander effect. There's where they freeze, because they don't know what to do.
Right.
I always like to tell kids to be very clear, and adults, as a matter of fact, too. And that's one of the reasons I don't teach yell fire.
Yes, I don't agree with teaching yelling fire. It's too confusing.
Absolutely too confusing. And the rationale for that always was that somebody's going to look to see if there's a fire, but that doesn't mean they're prepared to help you.
That's
you know,
right.
You've got to go. You're three steps away from getting help there. And if all they do is call the fire department, I don't think that's really gonna help you in most situations. So we like to talk about yelling. What's gonna break through that bystander effect? If you're looking for people to come from outside of yourself to help you and tell them what to do, and also you're looking to empower yourself by yelling as well. So that's the controversy over what to yell.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
And I love the idea of the safety plan. It's one of the things that I always talk about. Let me jump in. Let's do a little couple of things for adults. And I just want to say I have on my website the Big Ten, and it's listed. It's in the safety tips section of my DearSafetySolutions.com website. And it's general rules for staying aware and prepared. And jump in here with me also. Of course, you got to use common sense.
Right.
Kids have maybe a little more trouble when they're young figuring out what common sense is, but the youths and the teens, that's a concept that you need to hone in them. That's a skill. Use common sense and learn what actions make you vulnerable to crime. And the way you do that is by getting information, reading all those safety tip pamphlets that you get all over the place. You know, picking up the information. You want to think of your mind, right, Irene, like a blank computer, and you're just plugging in that information, and if the situation comes up, here comes the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you study, the more you know, the more second nature it's going to be, and that is what's going to sharpen your common sense. And you also want them to recognize early warning signs of danger, right? Be relaxed, be aware of your surroundings, people read. You guys do people reading, right?
Right, to pay attention to
what's
happening, to notice what's happening around you, and to move away from potential trouble. Don't just stay right there. Be willing to change your plan. If you're walking down the street, somebody's behavior makes you uncomfortable, then move away from them. Go into a store for a minute or cross the street. Don't just go on the same path.
Absolutely. All right, and the last tip I'm going to give, fight to win. If you have no other choice but to fight, you want to strike at the vulnerable targets, eyes, ears, nose, throat, groin, kneecap, shin, and instep, because those targets take the least strength and ability to hurt. You want to get angry. You want to yell, no, leave me alone, get away from me, and fight as dirty as you possibly can. And, of course, you want to take a rape prevention or self-defense course or kid power course or whatever. Irene, we're coming to the end of our hour. Thank you so very much for being with me.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you, and thank you for the work you do to educate people.
Thank you, and it's kidpower.org. You got to go to that website. You got to check it out, get that e-zine from them. Now, as always, and I say when I give tips, there's no absolutes that exist in a crime scenario, and no advice can possibly address every variable. So you're going to have to evaluate each situation individually and respond the way that you instinctively judge is the safest for you. And it's my aim with this radio show to provide you with information and options that will help you make that instinctive assessment very quickly. I also want to tell you, please go to kidpower.org, look at that website. It's a great website, lots of safety tips and information. Also, if you'd like to hear any of the past episodes for Crime Prevention 101, just go directly to my host page on the voiceamerica.com website. You can plug in Susan Bartlestone or Crime Prevention 101, and that's going to take you right there. Also, please check out my DearSafetySolutions.com website, because I have show notes posted for all the shows, and I'm going to have a link to the Kid Power website there. And make sure you also go into the safety tips section on there, because we've got a lot of good stuff. The Big Ten for keeping yourself safe is there. If you've got a question that you'd like me to answer, if you've got a tip, if you've got a success story for me, if you've got anything that you'd like me to comment on, just email me, solutions@fightsafe.com. We're getting ready for our next show is coming up, and in January it is Stalking Awareness Month, so as well as Self-Defense Awareness Month. So next week I'm going to be talking about stalking and some of the options that you might have in that very difficult situation. And you know what? There's so much good stuff coming in that show. It'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.